Father God, we just thank you. We give you praise and glory and honor for just everything that you're doing today, for just this service, for your people who are gathered here in your name. And you said that, you know, if it's just two of us gathered together and you are in the midst of us and you're working and moving and you're doing powerful things. And so let us just connect into the spirit, you know, into your spirit. Let us connect together, and believe for one another, believe for ourselves that manifestation will happen. So Lord, I just thank you right now for this word that I'm about to teach. God, it's not about me. It's about you. So I decrease that you may increase in me. And Lord, just let every word that comes out of my mouth be a word that could just touch the life of those who are hearing. Oh God, God, just open up the hearts and the minds, open up the spirits to receive the seeds that you are planting in each and every person, and help us to go deeper and deeper in you. And let today just be another moment to and another opportunity to go deeper. And I give you all praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So today, in terms of our scriptures, I have a few key scriptures, again, some of which you've heard before. I'm just going to give you these scriptures and I'll reference them where necessary throughout my message today. But we have Galatians 5, chapter 5, verses 22-23 in the Voice. I believe that is on page 1434. And then we also have Romans chapter 8, verse 19, page 1382, Matthew chapter 18, verses 21-22, that is page 1178, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30-32, that's page 1440. And John chapter 4, verse 35, and that should be page 1295 in the Voice version of the Bible that we use. And a lot of these scriptures actually have been referenced from either the previous speakers, or if you look at the prayer devotion for today, then I'm pulling the scriptures from the prayer devotion for today. So we have finished our teaching series on the fundamentals of our faith. It goes without saying that we will never fully finish learning about what we believe, because it's a lifetime endeavor. And many believe that we'll continue to learn about the fullness of God even when we leave this life. And so as I thought about how to summarize the teachings of those before me and introduce us to the next series that will take us through our consecration and beyond, I was listening to a teaching on contemplative prayer and silence. And as I listened, I was quietly asking God to give me the connection between everything. And I heard the speaker share a quote that just opened a light in my understanding, and I could see the connection I needed. The speaker referenced a Catholic friar, St. Francis of Assisi, as saying, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." After some study, I learned that St. Francis may not have spoken these words, but the power of the meaning behind the word still rings true for me. We've been talking about spiritual impact, and I realized that preaching with our words is only one aspect of the impact that we hope to make when sharing the gospel. In our society, an even greater impact is sometimes made when we preach with our lives. When our lives display the glory of the gospel of Christ, that display touches the hearts and minds of those we come in contact with and plants a seed or opens a door that invites the Holy Spirit to begin or to continue the work of inner transformation in those around us. The fruit of the Spirit, the use of our spiritual gifts, servant leadership, all the topics that have been focused on before, you know, today, these are all aspects of sharing the gospel in a way that goes deeper than words into action. So whether St. Francis said the words or not, the reality is that there's a time and place for everything. In the interest of seeing the greatest spiritual impact, seeing the kingdom come and manifest on this earth, sometimes it takes words and sometimes it takes actions, and always it's probably some combination of both. The action, the life that is lived as a witness of the power of the gospel, the life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We learned this in Galatians 5 and 22. That authentic God life speaks louder than words. When others experience God elevating your natural and supernatural gifts into tools that bring about salvation, reconciliation, and healing to individual lives and communities of people, that experience speaks. When you, like Jesus, think it better to serve than to be served, you express a type of leadership that the world rarely sees. And we all know that the world right now is crying out for true leadership. If you never see the outcome of your living and preaching in this life, you can know that a far greater work is being done on the inside of those that encounter God through you. You make an impact, a strong effect on someone or something, and can continue to make a lasting impact on people, on this world, when you commit to living in and for Christ. All of creation is holding its breath, is waiting to see the God kind of life that we are meant to manifest. And that comes from Romans 8 and 19. As we close out one series and continue through our consecration with a focus on prayer, we must know that our faith and prayers are making a difference in us and touching those around us. Today, our prayer devotion focuses on reconciliation and forgiveness. And after hearing that quote about preaching the gospel, I realized that spiritual impact and all that we've learned over the last few weeks is closely connected to the concepts of forgiveness and reconciliation. Our spiritual impact begins when we recognize the power of the cross and the forgiveness and reconciliation we receive through Jesus' sacrifice. And as we live out the life he died to give us, the forgiveness and reconciliation that we extend towards others serves as a catalyst for those lives to be impacted and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. As I reflect on the scriptures for today, I wondered about how great of an impact it would make if we truly could walk in unconditional love and forgive others 490 times. That comes from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 22. Think about that. In one day, you extend forgiveness to each person who requires it, whether they ask you or not, every single time that they require it. Our prayer devotion for today likened it doing 490 jumping jacks, which would be challenging for even the most in shape person. Forgiving or willingly pardoning others is probably equally as difficult. I mean, think about it. Many of us, we do not like, it's hard sometimes to forgive, especially when somebody has done us so wrong. We feel like we should be allowed to have a grudge and hold it against them, you know? But the reality is that the Lord is saying, no, you can't do that. Whether they ask for forgiveness or not, you have to walk around with a heart of forgiveness, a heart that is open and being ready to say, you know what, whether you ask me or not, I forgive you. I love you. I pardon you for what you did to me. You know, the sheer depth of forgiveness at this level is astonishing when you think about it. It takes a supernatural power and personal transformation that comes through the continual development of the fruit of the Spirit in you that would even allow for such an endeavor. You know, when it comes to forgive 490 times, you know, in just, you know, one sitting, actually it was like, you can forgive 49 times in a day, 490 times. But ultimately what it's saying is that your forgiveness should be unlimited. And the thing is that many of the times we can't do it in and of ourselves. It really takes the Holy Spirit working through us. You know, think about somebody who hurts you in a deep way. Like, you in and of yourself are not able to just forgive, you know, because the part in you is just like, no, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, he comes in and he expands love and extends it to that person in a way that actually becomes a witness of the goodness and the glory of God. And so we have to realize that when God is asking us to do these things, he's not asking us to do it of our own accord. He's saying, I'm going to be right there with you and I will help you do these things. I will help you forgive. I will help you bring about reconciliation. And that's what we have to remember, that we are not alone. Ephesians 4, verses 30 through 32 in the Voice, it provides us with further guidance on what a life of forgiveness and reconciliation looks like. It says, it's time to stop bringing grief to God's Holy Spirit. You have been sealed with the Spirit, marked as his own for the day of rescue. Banish bitterness, rage and anger, shouting and slander, and any and all malicious thoughts. These are poison. Instead, be kind and compassionate. Graciously forgive one another, just as God has forgiven you through the anointed, our liberating King. Paul encourages us to banish, meaning forbid, abolish, get rid of bitterness, rage and anger, shouting and slander, any and all malicious thoughts, because such qualities and actions are poison. Sometimes we think that, oh, well, we're in some ways we're hurting somebody else, you know, when we're not forgiving and when we're angry and mad and we're holding a grudge against them. But the reality is that that kind of stuff is poisoning you. So you have to like let that go. And it says the alternate way of living is in kindness, compassion, grace, and forgiveness. Why? Because you have been graciously forgiven through Christ Jesus. We are not allowed to hold grudges and not forgive, because anytime we come to Jesus and we say, you know what, forgive us for this wrong thing that we've done. Guess what? He says, fine. He's like, you're forgiven. You were already forgiven. You didn't even necessarily have to come and ask me, because that's what he is. Forgiveness. No matter how bad we are, he forgives us. And so if we can be forgiven, then we have to extend that forgiveness to others. We have to see that God has more for us, more for the world. But we as ambassadors must tap into the character of Christ in order to see that more manifests in us, through us, and all around us. That is why we pray, not so God can change the situation, but so that we can be changed by deep encounters with God, taking on his mind and heart, so we can see the situation different and can see our role in making a difference. We are somebody's miracle, but until our character is aligned, we can't have the insight or foresight needed to execute on being that miracle in word, meaning sharing the good news of salvation or encouragement, or in deed, providing food, clothes, filling a physical need that someone has. If we take what we've learned over these sessions regarding the fundamentals of our faith, and especially what we've learned in the sessions about spiritual impact, if we take advantage of this consecration and prayer time, we will see change in our own lives. And just as importantly, we'll see transformation or the potential for transformation all around us. Sometimes it's not even about just being able to see that transformation actually manifest. It's about being able to go into a situation and see the potential for what God can do. And so when I pray, I'm praying for that potential. I'm like, God, take me into a space where I look at it, I can see what can be, not what is. I can see what can be, because while I'm there, I can pray. I can, you know, I can speak. I can act in a way that can bring that situation or bring that environment from what it is, which may not be an environment that honors God, to an environment that will bring him glory, that will bring about transformation in the lives of people. So we will see change in our own lives, and just as importantly, we'll see transformation, or the potential for transformation all around us. Jesus said in John 4:35, look out, the fields are ripe for harvest. Let's strengthen our commitment and partner with the Holy Spirit to be used as laborers, ready to go out and bring in the harvest. The messages over the next few weeks during our consecration and a few weeks beyond, we'll take a deeper dive into some of the prayers that we are focusing on during this consecration. We hope that each message will encourage you to go further and take a deeper dive into the prayer devotions that we are meditating on each day. You shouldn't wait for it to come into the church and just try to see what we as teachers are going to say to you. That's a part of it. You should be at home and with those devotions saying, Holy Spirit, make this life, make this rhema, make this alive to me, so that way I can use what I'm learning in these devotions to really bring about transformation in my own life. You know, it's great. Like, it's so wonderful that we have the teaching, you know, ministry that we do have, so that we can help everybody to go deeper. But there may come a time where the teaching ministry, the ability to, you know, come into the house of God, it may not be there for some reason. You know, our world is becoming so crazy. crazy. You just never really know what's going to happen, you know, but you should always know that you can dig into the word for yourself, that you have a connection to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will partner with you, you know, to bring about revelation and bring about understanding, so that that way you can learn it and know it for yourself. And so that's what I'm encouraging you today, that as you know, that let the time in the church be the icing on the cake, really. You know, it's like when you come in, all it is building upon what you were already learning and realizing. But during this consecration, commit to going deeper in God, commit to learning more, so that that way transformation, you know, I keep saying that word a lot because that's what I want to see. I want to see transformation in my own life, but I want to see transformation in the world. So that's all I have for you today. It was short and sweet, but if you bow your head, we're going to pray. Father, as we continue in this time of consecration, help us to keep our focus on you and on seeing your character develop in us, such that others can see you in our actions and hear you in our words. Give us a heart of forgiveness and reconciliation so we may see transformation in the lives of all that we encounter. We know we can't do this alone, so let us be aware always of your precious Holy Spirit working with us to walk alongside others on the path of growing deeper in love and deeper in the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen.